Anthony Newman, welcome to El Microscopio.
Thank you.
Well, our first question is, could you please give us a brief introduction to Clinica Chimica Acta?
Yeah, certainly. Well, Clinica Chimica Acta, CCA, has been around a long time, and it was actually started to support clinical chemists because the International Congress of Clinical Chemistry in Amsterdam asked us to do that in 1954, and then a bit later, about a year and a bit later, we launched the journal to support the community in January 1956, and we've been doing so ever since. So the journal has gone from strength to strength, and it still supports the community and still publishes an awful lot of papers. So from when we started until now, we published about 20,000 scientific articles, and we publish more articles per year than any other one of the journals in the field of laboratory medicine. And so that's an interesting background. It's one of the few international journals. There are many national journals, one of the few international journals. And we have a few experts, of course, as the editors, and then more experts, editorial board members. And it runs as a normal peer-reviewed scientific journal within this community. So that's a brief introduction to CCA, or Clinica Chimica Acta.
Perfect, thank you. What are the objectives of Clinica Chimica Acta?
So I'll call it CCA because Clinica Chimica Acta is interesting. That's a Latin name. It was first, because it is Latin, for Clinical Chemistry News. And back in 1950s, a lot of journals were called in Latin names, so everyone calls it CCA, so we'll call it CCA. So for CCA, objectives are the same now as they were 50 years ago, and 30 years ago, and 10 years ago, when I started looking after the journal 10 years ago, to actually publish as high-quality science as we can internationally, which helps laboratory medicine researchers worldwide do their job better, and from that it hasn't changed. It's always has had that viewpoint of constantly publishing the best there is, and looking for good submissions, good authors, good invited reviews to help people in the field do a better job as a researcher and as a laboratory medicine person working in the lab. So that's the basic idea, I'd say, of the objectives. Long term, of course, it stays the same. Still, with the relationship we will have in the future with the IFCC, to develop that, the objectives closer to the IFCC's wishes and goals as well.
What is the new relationship between the CCA and the IFCC?
It's interesting because the IFCC and CCA has been unofficially involved with each other for a long time in that 15, 20 years ago, we actually published special notes of newsletters and the like of IFCC within the journal pages of CCA, and specially printed on to blue paper. And people who are really senior in the field may remember those blue pages. But officially now, we have the link with the IFCC in that the IFCC now is an official sponsor of our journal, which has two things. Firstly, it means that they can use the platform of CCA to publish, first, the various things they might want to publish in terms of news, but also things like the IFCC guidelines and recommendations. And at the same time, the people who are linked to the IFCC, in other words, all of the member societies and all of the members of member societies, also benefit because of that relationship between the IFCC and CCA.
Do special IFCC members have any access to CCA?
Yes, they do. It's in effect, the IFCC, as you know, it literally consists of 90 or 100 or so societies, and each society is a member of IFCC. However, each society has all these personal members. And the personal members in the future will be able to have, you know, for a small cost, electronic access to the journal. And so that is for those who perhaps do not have it through their institute, is a way to access the scientific full richness of CCA going back right to the first volume. Now, this is to be arranged through each of the national societies, and so in due course, I would imagine that the National Society secretary or whoever would contact the members of each of the societies and say, well, this is the information. If you wish to have electronic access to CCA per year, it's $35, and then if you don't, there's no reason, yes or no, there's no insistence or enforcement. It's just for those who have access to the institute, perfect. For those who want to have access and don't have access to the institute, then this is a low-cost alternative for them getting access to this large amount of scientific information for their field.
Yes. Okay. What are the benefits of publishing in CCA, and what are the benefits of publishing in general?
That's actually quite a good question, in that if you're a scientific researcher, say just working in research, and then it's expected of you to publish all of your material because that's the way that your material can be used by many people out there. But if you're also not just a researcher, but also perhaps working in an ordinary hospital clinical chemistry laboratory and doing your routine material, and in the spare time or part-time doing research, you still need to publish, because if you don't publish your material, then what you've learned, you can't share with other people. Publishing in peer-reviewed scientific journals is the way forward, is the way to really, it's the accepted way of scientists contacting scientists, scientists talking to their peers. And so publishing in a peer-reviewed journal is, say, in this field, is important. Why you should publish in CCA? Well, I'm perhaps a bit biased as a publisher of CCA, but I think CCA has a very broad reach, and it's international reach out there. So publishing in CCA is a way to reach a large number of people. The number of downloads per year on Science Direct for CCA is over 200,000 downloads. So it's quite a lot of downloads for the journal. And the acceptance rate of the journal is about 25%. That means that not all people who send articles in to CCA get accepted. About one in four get accepted, and the rest are not seen as perhaps not novel enough or not high enough quality, or perhaps English isn't good enough or whatever. But in general, one in four is the acceptance rate. And once you have published in CCA or published in general, then people can see your articles, you get more visible, they will cite you, and that increases your profile and also increases your perhaps employability in the future in other institutes, other countries, or the like.
How are papers submitted?
Nowadays, the papers are submitted online as an electronic system, and what happens is that there's a from the homepage of the journal, which you can find on elsevier.com, then you can then find how to submit, and there you go directly to what's called the EES site, and that then you can upload your article or whatever. There's also lots of information to assist you in terms of how to write a paper, how to structure it, how to properly laid out in terms of the research results and the conclusion and how to write the abstract, and a whole bunch of extra useful, shall we say, author resources to help the authors who are not experienced enough yet on how better to write their papers. And once you have got a good, well-polished paper, and then you can then submit that within this EES system up into the CCA editor. And then the CCA editor then takes that paper and then allocates it to a couple of scientists in the field, to referees, to evaluate it and then to comment on if it needs to be improved or if it needs to be, perhaps it's not good enough for the journal or whatever. Is that helpful in terms of knowing the process of submitting a paper and what happens to it?
Okay, well, thank you. Is there any final comment you would like to make?
Yes, I would. I think that it's the idea of publishing for some parts of the community, some parts of the world, is seen as alien. And I think it's very important that as many people publish as can, as a way to spread any research information. And also, if you are not publishing or not yet publishing, it's also important to read as much international information as you can to find perhaps best ways of doing things, to find codes of practice, to find recommendations and guidelines, because that helps you to do your day-to-day job of doing research or running your clinical laboratory more effectively.
Thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure to have this interview.
Fine. Thank you.